You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
We're thankful to have RX Destroyer sponsoring the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Did you know it's illegal and environmentally harmful to waste medications into napkins, sinks, and toilets? RX Destroyer is transforming unused medication disposal such that compliance is simple, fast, and cost-effective. Fines could be tens of thousands of dollars per incident. If you'd like more information on medication waste compliance, learn how RX Destroyer can keep your facility DEA compliant by checking out www.rxdestroyer.com/pharmacy podcast network.
Welcome to the Income Outcome Show, a podcast publication part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The Income Outcome Show is dedicated to pharmacists, pharmacy technicians, pharmacy students, and all pharmacy professionals interested in maximizing their income and providing insights into living a financially free lifestyle.
All matters discussed during this podcast are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed herein are solely those of Waypoint Strategic Advisors, LLC, and our editorial staff. Material presented is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. All information and ideas should be discussed in detail with your individual advisor prior to implementation. The presence of this podcast shall in no way be construed or interpreted as a solicitation to sell or offer to sell advisory services to anyone. Waypoint Strategic Advisors, LLC is not affiliated with or endorsed by any government agency and are not engaged in the practice of law. Content should not be viewed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned or as legal or tax advice. You should always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation.
And now here are your hosts of the Income Outcome Show, Ben Coakley with Waypoint Strategic Advisors and Joe Castle with Pharmacist Financial.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Income Outcome Show on the Pharmacy Podcast Network. I'm here with my compadre, Joe Castleman. Joe, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody. How you doing today?
Awesome. Awesome. Joe, how's the weather in Texas, buddy?
Man, you're talking about your AC going out last night. It's hot down here. I can't even imagine.
All right. It's hot. And, you know, we're one of the things we've mentioned to you guys on the line here or listening to this podcast, we're going to try to bring on some guests, and we are super, super excited. If I can get that word out, Joe, it's one of those difficult words, super, you know, so, we're super excited to have Lisa Larder here, with us. And, Lisa is what I consider a master at integrating modern marketing with effective business strategy to capture leads and to grow a business. And I had the pleasure of meeting Lisa. I've met her at several conferences, and she so generously gave me her book, Pilot to Profit, and which I've read and I've really thoroughly enjoyed, because it helped me think a little bit differently about my mindset and how I approach things. So Lisa, welcome. How are you today?
I am great, and my air conditioning is working just fine.
Awesome. Yeah. Lisa, we were talking about that earlier. You actually have air conditioning in Nova Scotia, Canada.
Yeah, despite what you believe, we're not living in igloos. We get humidity and hot, sunny weather here, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, it's beautiful part of the world. And I know that, your journey to be able to move to Nova Scotia and to live the life that you've always wanted, kind of started at an early age, you know, and, I was reading a story in your book about this flea market experience and how that helped shape your life. And
I love flea markets.
Yeah. Joe and I were actually talking. We're like, because I was like reading, I was like, Joe, I think they call it something else in Canada other than a flea market. But it turns out I went back and read the book and it says flea market. So it's definitely a flea market down here too. So Lisa, tell me, can you explain a little bit about the flea market story and kind of how that began to shape this life that you've always wanted?
Yeah, absolutely. I was raised by a single mom, and I was raised by a single mom before it was common or popular to be a single parent, and maybe it's not popular today, but it's definitely more prevalent and acceptable today than it was when I was a kid way back then. I won't say how many years ago that was, but and my mom really struggled to make ends meet with her single income, and I got to the age where I started to notice in school basically the people who were the haves versus the have-nots. And I definitely sided more in the have-not camp when it came to fashion and the way that I dressed. And my mom shopped at the local Five and Dime, so to buy me a pair of jeans was $25. And this new store in town opened up, and they had designer jeans, and they were $100. And I wanted those jeans. And my mom looked at me, and I was 12 years old, and she said, "Child, if you want those jeans, you're going to have to find a way to make that money, because I don't have that kind of money to buy you new jeans." And so I took that as a challenge that, well, if it was to be, it was up to me, how could I make that money? And the local flea market that we had in town allowed everyone to come to the flea market and have a table for the first time for free. So there was no cost barrier to entry to go to the flea market. And so I went about collecting all of my old toys, all of my old books that I had read. I even went and knocked on neighbors' doors and asked them if they had anything that they wanted to give away that I could sell at the flea market. And I took all of my stuff to the flea market, and of course my mom came along, and she had a couple things that she wanted to sell, and she didn't sell a thing. And by the end of the day, I had sold every single item. I had enough money to buy the jeans, and I had enough money to buy a table so that I could become a regular at the flea market. And from there, I started making crafts and chocolates and anything and everything that I could get my hands on that I could sell. And that was really my first job.
Yeah, that's great. That's great, Lisa. I was thinking, like, in my head as you're saying this, like, I think everybody maybe has a flea market, you know, moment, you know, and I might use that in a blog.
I don't know, Ben. I don't know if everybody does, and I'll tell you why. Some of the entrepreneurs that I work with, I always say you don't have a business unless you know how to generate income. And people really struggle to generate income. And I think one of the reasons that I can generate income so easily is because of that flea market experience. I think a lot of people went through the traditional path of getting a job, and then they decided they wanted freedom, so they started a business, but they never really fully understood the responsibility that comes with needing to generate income in your business.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Lisa. And I think that's a great point. You know, taking it from an idea to a business is a challenging thing. And there are a lot of reasons, you know, why somebody, you know, may not be able to make that leap. One of the things you talk about in the book is, you know, the first sale you have to make is to yourself.
Yeah. And Lisa, I'm curious what you mentioned that your mom did not sell any of her stuff, but I'm curious why that was. Was she not active, or did she not have good stuff, or
She was passive.
Passive,
she
okay.
She acted like an employee. She acted like a grocery store clerk who was waiting for somebody to come up and want to buy, whereas I was this kid that had this natural ability to have conversation with people. I wasn't shy. I wasn't intimidated, and it made it easy for me to sell. I wasn't afraid to ask people if they wanted to buy something. I wasn't afraid to haggle over how much they wanted to pay. And even when I got my first job in retail, a man by the name of Vince Conahan hired me to work at that local Five and Dime. And I remember as clear as day him saying to me, "When somebody walks in, just say hello. If they say they're just looking, leave them alone. If they want to buy something, they'll let you know." Well, here I am, 13 years old, and I live in a small town, and it's pretty boring. You can only tidy up so much. I wanted to talk to somebody, so when people came in and they told me they were just looking, it was a game to me to get them to talk to me and to get them to buy something. Not everybody looks at selling like that.
Yeah, Lisa, you know, one of the things, one of our strategic coaches told me, you know, he has a saying, never sell, never tell, right? I mean, if people help people buy, you know, look for people who are looking to buy. People love to buy. They hate to be sold kind of concept. And, you know, so part of selling is hey, just presenting a couple options to say, hey, here are two or three options, you know, pick the one that best fits your need. So this whole concept of first sell yourself. The first sale you have to make is to yourself. I mean, what do you mean by that?
Well, I didn't say that. I think it came from The Richest Man in Babylon, that quote. Okay. But essentially, if you don't believe in what you're selling, you can't sell it to someone else. Selling is a transfer of belief. And if you don't believe that what you're charging is a fair price, if you don't believe that it's good value, then it's really difficult for you to be able to transfer that belief to someone else. And I've experienced that in my business over the years when some of the programs that I offer have gone up in price. I remember one time deciding to increase one of my coaching programs from $3,500 to $5,000. And $5,000 to me at the time was just a huge amount of money. And every time I talked to somebody about it, I got so tripped up by the amount of money that I was asking for the program that I couldn't close any new customers. Mm. It took me 3, 4, 5 times before somebody actually said yes to working with me. And I realized it was because I was lacking in confidence when I was having the conversation with someone. And yet, when I made the decision to move that program up to $7,500, I had already sold the value to myself. And the very first person that I talked to said, no-brainer, yes, I want to do this. Awesome. And so I really believe that there is something to that expression when they say you can smell a rat. You can smell it because it stinks. It's the same thing when it comes to selling. You can sense when somebody is not confident in what they are selling you. And if you sense that lack of confidence, you do not want to buy. So you've got to sell what you're selling to yourself first.
Yeah, yeah, and that's a great point. I think oftentimes, you know, we go out into the world and we say we think we've got this great program and we're a little unsettled about it. And I just to piggyback on that, the first time we ever asked for a fee for our coaching program, I was physically sweating. I wasn't, fortunately, it was down my back. I mean, I was sweating. I was so nervous. And I asked for it. And the gentleman, I saw on you, Joe, this, the gentleman said, called his personal assistant and said, hey, have a check for, you know, I think it was $3,500, Lisa, kind of ironic, same price that you were charging before. This was probably 15 years ago, $3,500, have him a check while he walks out, when he walks out. I was like, wow, you know, that does work. And, you know, it's if you have something of value and you ask for the business. Now, again, you know, Lisa, I was, you know, kind of a fake it till you make it kind of thing. I was kind of faking the confidence in it. That's great. You also talk about, you know, we talk about this with our people and everybody on this podcast has probably heard us talk about this. You mentioned specifically, there's a whole section in the book about be careful who you get advice from or take advice from. And I think that's one of the most important things that I took away from the book. Tell me what you're thinking there. And how did you go about the process of making sure you were getting advice from the right people?
Yeah, and I would add, Lisa, did you experience something personally that made you come up with that wisdom? Or was it, you know, how else did you receive that?
I think it probably all goes back to my mom, because my mom had a really tough life. She had a tough life financially. She had a tough life where she lived. She always worked for the same company. She didn't have great bosses. And she always said that she wanted my life to be different from hers. And I knew that if my life was going to be different from hers, I would have to do things that were different. If I stayed in the same small town and I got a job and I stayed with that job forever, I would have the same life. And so I was always innately curious about people who had a life that was different from me. Hmm. I always aspired to be like someone. Even when I was working in my corporate retail job, I had role models that I would look to and try to emulate and try to be like those people. So I think it started with my mom. And then I think it also was impacted by my mom, because when I worked for TELUS, which is a wireless company in Canada, I had a really good job. I was responsible for a large team. I was responsible for a national scope of retail stores. And I was making good money. I mean, really good money, considering I'm a high school dropout. And when I told my mom that I was going to quit my job and open a business, my mom said, "Oh my God, child, are you sure you're doing the right thing? You have such a good job. They treat you so well. You have benefits. You make good money." And my mom was horrified that I would consider making a different choice. Mm. And I realized in that moment, you don't go to someone who's been an employee their entire life to get inspired about opening, starting, building, growing a business. You go to somebody who's done it. Absolutely. And so my mom's mindset is very different than mine, because she's never been entrepreneurial. She would never walk away from her job and take the risks that I've taken in my life. And so if you go to people and you ask them for advice and they've never done what you aspire to do, you're not going to get advice that's helpful. If I want to get in shape and I want to eat healthy, I'm not going to go to somebody who is obese, who eats at McDonald's every day, because they don't have the real world experience to help me learn. And so I think, you know, my mom wanting a better life for me and then my mom's reaction to when I decided to go out on my own were really the two things that made me really weary of who I asked for advice and who I was willing to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe, you and I talk about a lot about, you know, the whole concept of show me your friends and I'll show you your future.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
And, you know, you need to surround yourself. We also, we also talk about pruning the hedges, you know, you got to trim the vines that aren't fruitful, you know, from your mm-hmm. life. And there might be, I think that's in the Bible, Joe, if I'm not mistaken, but again, the idea of making sure that you're surrounding yourself with people who build you up, not tear you down is important, Lisa, because I think the risk of, I think the fear of, you know, doing this on your own, you know, I think that's a big fear of, like, I'm going to be by myself out there with this idea and not know what to do. And what you're essentially saying is find some people who've traveled down that path before and have them mentor you and help guide you along your journey. And it makes the journey, it smooths out a little bit. You know, I'm not saying it's not going to be rough. I mean, there are going to be rough times. Lisa, I'm sure there's been some times in your business career where you're like, oh, what is going on here? You know, because I think we all have those days. But again, having surrounding yourself with people who can be a resource and you can pick up the phone and call and ask questions and share your frustrations with, I think can make that easier. Is that kind of what you're saying with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the third thing that I would add to that is you also have to trust your own intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes people can give you advice and you know, you, something in your gut tells you that advice is not for you. Mm-hmm. You've got to trust yourself when the advice is not for you and not blindly listen to advice. And I think a lot of people give away their power when someone gives them advice, and we need to do a better job of trusting our own instincts, because at the end of the day, we are responsible. We are responsible for the decisions we make, the advice that we accept, and the advice we ignore.
Well, and Lisa, Ben and I talk about how emotions dictate, you know, especially financial decisions, way more than logic. And, you know, that intuition, you could have somebody that maybe on paper has done certain things that appear more successful, but if you, like you just said, if it doesn't feel right or if it's not right for you, you know, you have to check that emotion, you know?
Absolutely. And Sally Hogshead wrote the book Fascinate, and one of the things that she always says is different is better than better. And sometimes we get advice that is the same old advice, and we're just trying to be better instead of different. And when you listen to your own instincts and intuition, different is risky. Different isn't proven. Different is what makes you stand out. And sometimes you've got to trust that and go with it, even when someone else is telling you to just try to be better.
Yeah, no, I like that. Dare to be different, you know, dare to go out. You know, you talk about dreaming, you know, talk about dreaming is scary, you know, Lisa, you know, how, and I think we are sometimes, you know, bound by, you know, the limitations. Joe, I've told you this 100 times. The thing that holds us back more than anything is what's between our ears, right? Our brain, our mentality that maybe we're not good enough to have this. We're not, you know, we can't do this. And so you talk about, you know, this concept of dreaming is scary. Being different maybe is scary. I mean, Lisa, what are some things maybe that you've done? Some things you put into practice in your life when you're daring to dream or daring to be different that helps you move forward and prevents those things from holding you back
and becoming a nightmare.
What are some of the things that I've done? I think the bravest thing that I've done is tell other people and not just keep it to myself, because when I say something out loud that I want to do this or I want to have this or I want to make this happen, then I feel a sense of responsibility for following through, because I don't think people care so much about what you say you will do. They care about what you've actually done. And so I think for me, one of the ways that it gets less scary is by talking about it and verbalizing what it is that you want. At the same time, there are things that I do to protect my fragile ego, so to speak. One of the things that I like to do is I like to pre-sell things. I like to do proof of concept marketing, where I call it invitation marketing, where I will put something on social media without a buy button, without a shopping cart, without a graphic, and just say, I'm thinking about doing this. And then I describe what I'm thinking about doing, and I invite people to message me privately if that sounds like something they would be interested in. And so I take those conversations from the news feed to a private conversation, and it helps me to mitigate the risk of investing in doing something before I know that there's actually a buyer out there for what I'm planning on doing.
Yeah, Lisa, and so that, I mean, that truly gets to one of the biggest things that we see with people who are looking to make a move or start their own business. It's the mentality. You know, we talk, Joe, a lot about the abundance mentality versus the, of course, I can't figure out the word here. I went blank here.
Scarcity.
There you go. Thank you, Lisa. There's a
that AC is affecting you.
Yeah, that AC. Yeah, I'm starting to sweat. It's starting to get too hot. My brain's not working. So scarcity, abundance versus scarcity. Lisa, I've had people tell me like, hey, I don't want to put this out because I'm scared somebody is going to grab onto it. And I think that's a scarcity mentality versus an abundance mentality. For somebody who is facing that, I mean, what any advice that you would have for them to kind of overcome that scarcity mentality?
Well, I think the first thing is you need to build up your self-confidence, and you need to know that the differentiator is you. And when I put an idea out there, I'm selling me. So someone else can put the exact same idea out there, but they're not me. And so I have to trust that the people who are interested in doing business with me are interested in my ideas. And Ben, if you took the exact same idea, you copied it verbatim and you put it out there, the people who would be interested in that idea that you have just borrowed as your own would be interested in it because of you, not because of me. And so if you go back to what I talked about at the very, very beginning at the flea market and working at the local five and dime, the key to my success has always been relationship building. It's always been having conversations with people, talking to people, not at people. And by investing in those relationships just for the sake of investing in them, when I have an offer on the table, I have a competitive advantage because I have relationships. And no one can steal your relationships. They can steal your ideas, but they can't steal your relationships.
Now, and that's a great point, Joe. Joe, that book that I was explaining to you, Lead for God's Sake. Lisa, I don't know if you've ever read Lead for God's Sake. There was one line, it's the most memorable line of this book, and it talks about, and I encourage everybody to pick up the book if you're interested, but there's this one line, and this janitor, who's a multimillionaire, by the way, he's working as a janitor, is explaining to this basketball coach on why this basketball coach cannot lead his team effectively. He's explaining to him that, hey, God cares more about who you are than what you do. And Lisa, I highlighted that line. I was reading in the middle of the night, and I was reading it, and I just highlighted it, and I kept highlighting it. And I was like, you know, God cares more about who we are, and people care more about who we are than necessarily mm-hmm. than what we do. So they're buying us. You're right. So I could be selling widgets, they're buying me, not necessarily the widget. So Lisa, we do appreciate it. We're coming to our time here. We've got a couple minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about how people can get information from you or how they can reach out to you on your website, which is lisalarder.com. I know there's great information on there. But ideally, if somebody wanted to kind of get started going down the road of maybe possibly looking at working with you, Lisa, and helping them achieve this life that they've always wanted, what's the best way to get started?
I think the best way to kind of dip your toe into my philosophies and the way I think about business, sales, marketing, numbers, all of that kind of stuff, is to go to thepilotproject.com. The Pilot Project was an idea that came to me in the shower one day after I had been coaching and teaching and training people on social media for quite some time, that everybody who came to me for social media marketing help really had a business model issue. And the business model foundational skills were missing, and that's why their marketing wasn't working. So I developed this concept called the Pilot Project, and I put it on Facebook, and the very first time I ran it, I sold over 100 of them. And then I doubled the price, and I sold 150. And then I doubled the price, and I sold even more. And so over time, what has happened is I haven't had time to market that program the way that I once did, but it's such a good program that I didn't want to just shelve it, so I decided to give it away. Awesome. So it is a program that people have legitimately paid $500 for, and you can sign up and get it for free when you go to thepilotproject.com, and you can join a community on Facebook. There's over 500 people in that community who are all business owners, and it's a great first step into my philosophy around business.
Yeah, that's great. And also, I think you do some events throughout the year as well. If somebody wants maybe that's kind of the dip the toe in the water. Somebody kind of wants to wade in or even dive in. I think you have a couple of events that you throw
I
as
do.
Well.
I do. I have two different events that I host annually. One is called Roadmap, and one is called Money, Mindset, and Marketing. Roadmap is basically a strategic marketing planning workshop. It's typically a smaller event. It's 3 days. We roll up our sleeves and we do the work. We teach, we discuss, and we implement.
Yeah.
Money, Mindset, and Marketing is a 2-day event, and this year's theme is money over mindset, because I believe that although mindset is fundamental to your success. I believe that as a society, women especially, too many have bought in to the myth that they have a money mindset flaw. Mm-hmm. And we carry this flaw around, and I just do not buy it. I believe the reason that women struggle with their money mindset is a math problem. They don't understand numbers. They don't understand how to make money. They don't understand how to interpret the numbers, the data. And I want to change that philosophy. So in November of this year, we're hosting Money Mindset and Marketing, and we are focusing on money over mindset this year at the event. And both of those events are on my website at lisalarder.com under the event tab.
Yeah, Lisa, and I think that's I think that's so important. Joe, I don't know if you've read any of the studies, but I think women, don't they control more of the money now in America? And I don't know the same way in Canada, Lisa, but I think women, I mean, women are starting to make some pretty good influence household finances in particular, what I'm talking about. But again, yeah, absolutely. I think having an understanding of this, and you talk about your money mindset, and we'll kind of close with this because I think it's a good kind of closing. I underlined a couple of things here. You know, the disease to please. I wrote that. You know, I underlined that because that's just, great. I can't. You know, I yeah. You know, hey, stepping out and thinking differently and doing this thing. You might have to break a few eggshells. You know, you might have to break a few eggs to do that.
And, I used to have that disease down here, so
I
can relate.
Joe, we're still fighting that with Joe, Lisa. Just
I was going to say it's like a bad virus; it comes back.
It does.
Listen, we all want to be liked. You know, and I know that, and I want to be liked too. You know, and Joe, I think sometimes our team thinks I'm like the Wicked Witch of the West here, where I'm like just out there just doing what I'm doing. But no, I mean, I want to please, but I want to be strategic, and I want to be intentional with that, because I only have so much time, energy. And then the last thing, and I want everybody on here to truly understand that. And Lisa, we'll give you the last word on this. But the other thing I underlined, and I actually sent you a message, I think, Lisa, and I think you said you were going to have to go back and reread your book, I think, if I'm not mistaken. There is a difference between living and being alive.
Mm.
I underlined that. And for everybody on here, if you're looking to take control of your life and start your own business and have the life that you always wanted, there is a true difference between living and being alive. And I can tell you from talking to Lisa, nobody is more alive than her and what she does and the passion that she brings to this and the willingness to serve people. And the joy you get from that, Lisa. It's truly an inspiration to me, which is why I thought of you immediately when I thought about, you know, you really are our first guest on our podcast. If you, you know, so you are the, you're the trailblazer here for
oh,
us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Awesome. Thank you that is so cool. much.
That is cool. So if you're not ready to take the step to reach out to Lisa or to do that, if you want me to facilitate an introduction to Lisa, just reach out to me, Ben@waypointrx.com, and I'll be glad to do that. If you have any questions for Joe Castman, Joe, how do they get in touch with you?
Joe, JOEC at waypointus.com, or you can shoot both of us a text. And what's that number, Ben?
It's 843-873-4420. And just type in Lisa. Just put the code, just put Lisa as the word you text in, and that'll let us know that you're interested in getting in touch with Lisa, and we'll be glad to facilitate an introduction to you. So Lisa, last word, last piece of advice for somebody who's sitting on the fence. They're ready, they're thinking about making that leap. What's the last piece of advice for them?
I wrote a blog this morning, and the blog is the number one excuse I hear. And the number one excuse I hear is, it's hard. And if it was easy, everyone would do it. If you want your life to be different than it is right now, you've got to do something different. And the hardest part is starting. It's not actually doing it. It's just getting your butt off the couch and making the decision to do something. So if you do something every single day to bring you closer to your goal, then your life will be very different than if you just sit on the couch thinking about it.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Perfect. Lisa, we always end our podcast with the future is in your hands, everybody out there. But remember, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
Absolutely.
We'll leave it at that. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Lisa. We do appreciate you coming on, and we hope that this is fruitful for you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. It was awesome. I could have talked to you guys all day.
Me too. Yeah.
Interested in learning more about maximizing your income and living a financially free lifestyle? Contact the Income Outcome Show today to learn more about your financial possibilities and best practices in managing your money to create opportunities for lasting wealth. Go to pharmacypodcast.com under the contact section and send us a message and we'll get back to you within 24 hours. Thanks for listening to the Income Outcome Show, a podcast publication part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network.